Hi, everyone.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Chair.
Good morning, Madam Director General. Good morning, colleagues, and good afternoon.
Yeah. Good afternoon, that's
Morning.
true.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good morning, everyone, or good afternoon if it's afternoon for you.
Good morning.
Good afternoon, Kadian.
Yeah, we have 20 people joining, so whenever you want to start.
Thank you very much, DG. Greetings to all the colleagues and thanks for joining for this sixth meeting of the AP41 working group. So I think it is 5 minutes past the hour, so I think we could start our meeting. I would first like to invite the secretariat to display the agenda for the meeting. So for this meeting, we have prepared a draft agenda which has been circulated with the mail inviting for this session. So what we intend to address today, beside the adoption of the meeting summary of our last meeting, we will have two main documents for consideration. First will be the contribution from the Director General on the working group recommendation, and thereafter, the contribution from the Chairman combining all the TORs before getting to any other business. Is there any comments with regards to the draft agenda? If none, agenda is approved. So before moving to the business of the day, I will start by providing some opening remarks. First, I would like to recognize here the chair of the AP, Mr. Alexandru Cosmac from Romania. Thank you for joining us once more for this meeting. And according to our work program that we agreed when we started our assignment within this other group, we've agreed to have six meetings. So we are coming to today to the last meeting for this year, according to our program. And the aim of this meeting was to be a kind of, I would say, a wrap up of what we have done during the previous meeting, because we have planned today to look at a consolidated document where we would reflect all the elements that we have discussed previously according to each of the TORs. As you may recall, during the previous meeting, we have considered during our meeting each of the TORs and looking at the background on the issue, the main aspect that should be addressed, and we have also looked at possible potential recommendation according to each of these TORs. So now today we are expecting to look at the, I would say, the consolidated document where we have reflected all the outcome from the discussion from the previous meeting. And at the same time, and we have also kindly requested the Director General if there were further elements that could lead to an improvement to what we have agreed previously to provide us with input. I think that's why today we will have a specific contribution from the Director General and some of the working group recommendation that we have already discussed during previous meeting. And the document, the outcome document from this meeting will serve as the basis for the interim report that should be provided to the next meeting of the ASC. So now, by after setting the scene for our work today, I would like maybe to recognize the chair of the AP if he has some few words to share with us before getting into the business of our meeting today. Chair, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I'll be very, very brief. So first of all, I would like to recognize your amazing work as the chair of this working group. So basically we managed in such a short time to advance with most of the hottest topics or theories that have been allocated to the working group. So of course this is also due to the members' involvement, but first of all, I would like to recognize your involvement and your wise guidance. Also, I would like to recognize the involvement and the support from the Secretariat and from the Madam Director General. And as mentioned before, last but not least, of course, it was very important to be backed up by the parties. And luckily, each meeting produced very useful and insightful discussions. And this is why we managed to reach this point to be able to put all the elements in at the end of this year and to prepare a good 2025 report. So I'll stop here once again. Thank you. Many thanks to you, to the Director General, and to all parties for your involvement. And I hope that next year will bring at least the same level of cooperation and good understanding and consensus between all the parties. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you also for your kind words. And I would like also to echo what you have just said, highlighting the important role that the parties have played during this whole process, and also the support that has been provided by the Secretariat and all the consultants that are working with the Secretariat. And now I will turn to our Director General to see if she has some opening remarks to share with us. DG, you have the floor, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Good morning and good afternoon to everybody. First of all, I would like to echo both chairs and to thank all of you for being here today and for the continuing support that you have given to ITSU. I want to thank the AP chair that he has been very consistent, attending all our meetings and being extremely supportive, and the chair of the working group for their dedication to ITSU, and of course the coordinators, co-coordinators, rapporteurs, and regional vice chairs, and all the management team that have made it possible our work during these last few months. We all worked very hard to ensure the success of this working group, and I'm very grateful to all of you. And again, I want to say we all know how wonderful our chair is. So thank you very much, Mr. Chair. This is our last meeting before the IAC, and I'm pleased to see that we achieved quite a lot in such a short period of time. And the goal today is to finalize the recommendations so that the chair can prepare and present his working group report to the IAC. We as the Secretariat have prepared some updates to the recommendations, and we hope these will help us finalize our recommendations for the IAC. But before we get started, I would like to give you a few updates since our last meeting in September. First of all, I'd like to give you some updates regarding funding. Since I assumed the post of Director General of ITSU, I had several meetings with SES, and I'm very pleased to let you know that we are now finalizing a three-year funding agreement with SES, which will ensure the much-needed financial stability and continuity for ITSU. We know that funding has been an issue for ITSU for the last few years. And I want to remind everybody that SES obligation under the PSA is to provide annual funding for ITSU, for the CEO to negotiate in good faith with the Director General. As also, I want to remind you that, as you know, the current financial year, we had already agreed on funding. The previous Director General entered into a funding agreement with Intelsat on July 3rd, 2025 for 1 year, where Intelsat agreed to pay $850 for ITSU operations in monthly statements, which has been very hard for the ITSU Secretariat, and they agreed to reimburse us for up to $149,000 for AP costs. So this was the agreement in place. And so since July, when I joined and when SES acquired Intelsat, I have been having meetings with the CEO of SES, and I express our concerns to SES and convey all the requests from the parties. And I'm very pleased to share that SES agreed to enter into a multi-funding agreement for 3 years, and they agreed to pay 1.2 million over the next 3 years. I understand that this amount is slightly below the minimum level established by the ITSU Assembly of Parties, that we said 1.3 million for years when there was AP. And unfortunately, it does not account for inflation. However, I'm very confident that this is a good approach for ITSU because it provides the necessary stability and momentum for ITSU work. It also demonstrates, in my opinion, SES' genuine willingness to support ITSU and certainly represents a significant improvement over the levels that we have received since 2018. They agreed to change the current funding agreement to reflect the new value of 1.2 million and agree to a more efficient quarterly payment structure, replacing this dreadful monthly approach previously in place. And this will help us with our financial planning. And considering the challenges that we have faced in the recent years and the extremely negative attitude from Intelsat towards ITSU, I believe this agreement marks a strong, pragmatic, and forward-looking step for our organization. SES' decision to increase funding for the current fiscal year and to commit to a multi-year agreement reflects, in my opinion, a gesture of goodwill and partnership, showing their desire to build a constructive and lasting relationship with ITSU. The final agreement hasn't been signed. It's being finalized now, and we expect to sign it very soon, marking a very important milestone for the organization and starting the beginning of a strong collaboration with SES. One very important point that I would like to mention is that throughout this negotiation, it was very clear to me that SES doesn't have the agenda to close ITSU, as it was the case with Intelsat. And they have been showing a great level of respect for towards me as Director General and to all the parties. Another very important point to remind is that and I have been at ITSU for many years. I have been part of many, I have attended many negotiations. And this is the first time since 2015 that we have entered into a three-year agreement and that the company, in my opinion, negotiates in good faith. I think the last time Intelsat negotiated in good faith was in 2015 for the financial, for the last three-year funding that we had. Also, we are working on a path towards a very strong collaboration between ITSU and SES, which would include SES support to our parties, capacity building events, and etc. They stated very clearly and several times that they want to have a very different relationship, a very collaborative relationship with ITSU, and to provide solutions to ITSU parties, which are and can be very important to them. At ITSU, as we all know, we always said that this about Intelsat, and I'm repeating this about SES. Our goal is that SES is extremely successful because a successful SES can continue to fulfill their obligations under the ITSU agreement and the PSA. And only a strong SES can meet the core principles. So this was my update on funding. I have a few ones, very short ones. One is about WTDC that is coming up in a few weeks, and we have prepared and submitted an informative contribution that you have, you should all have received a letter yesterday with the details of this contribution. And I just want to bring this to your attention. This contribution was developed in close consultation with FWP, as well as the AP chair, working group chair, coordinators, vice coordinators. And I'm very pleased to report that several ITSU parties have expressed their strong support for this contribution. And I wanted to bring to your attention, and if you are at WTDC and willing to support us, that will be great. And also, I wanted to mention the FWP meeting. We have an FWP meeting coming up on November 25th. And I want to bring this to the attention of the parties, especially to the experts who attend FWP, because last time when we had the meeting in June, we had very low attendance of the FWP. And I hope that for the November meeting, we have a stronger attendance. And I ask all the experts to attend the November meeting or to send representatives if they cannot. And for me, I personally value very much the expertise of the FWP. And it's very important for the organization to count on their support. We are finalizing the documents and they should be circulated very shortly, today or tomorrow. And that was it from me in terms of updates. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I finish my opening remarks. And of course, I can answer any questions you might have.
Thank you very much, DG. I think we have heard from your intervention. I will say some good news. First of all, is the fact that there is an agreement in principle to have an agreement on multi-year funding for the ITSO with something with an amount which is almost to what has been decided or identified by the AP as the minimal level of resources that will be needed for funding the ITSO. And at the same time, you have noted from your intervention that there has been a drastic improvement in the atmosphere in the relationship between ITSO and Intelsat. So now the new team, management team of Intelsat seems to be, I would say, more constructive, more collaborative, and with more willingness to cope with the obligation of the company with regards to the PSA and or any other legal instrument, binding instrument between the two organizations. And also there are expectation of further engagement between ITSO and Intelsat for collaborative projects such as capacity building. So second thing that you have also mentioned is the fact that there is a contribution submitted to the WTDC 25. Even though this might be submitted as information, then we would really encourage the parties attending the WTDC to consider this contribution and maybe support the inclusion of the proposal there into the final document or into the decision that the WTDC will take for updating some of the existing recommendation or resolution from the conference. And the last point that you have mentioned is the future meeting of the frequency working parties, where all the experts are invited to attend the meeting. But also, please, for this, make sure that you have sent the information, the invitation, and the relevant document to all experts or even parties who have interest or who could provide support to the work of this group. So I will then open the floor if there is any question, comments, or contribution with regards to the statement by the DG. So I see a hand raised from the chair of the AP. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Right now, I'm taking the floor in multiple capacity as the chair of AP of the AP, but also as former chair of one of the previous working groups and as a representative from or of Romania. So, if you remember, the need for the predictability of funding was one of the most important topics, or let's say issues, for the parties. As chair of the previous working group one, I know, and you all know, how many discussions we had on identifying solutions to secure a multi-year financing for at least 2 years in a row. We were very envy that at a certain point it so managed to secure, if I'm not wrong, up to 2010, 2012, a 2 years in a row budget. And we really tried to achieve the same results. But, Madam Director General, I would like to praise your negotiation skills because you managed to convince SES even better than we were hoping to achieve. So from this point of view, I'm extremely happy with your update, and indeed, right now, it's a fresh and predictable start for the organization, and you managed something that we could only dream to achieve at a certain point. Indeed, it's not the exact amount of money approved by AP, but the benefits from SES attitude and the way the negotiations were conducted are more important in the current context. Let's hope that the US inflation will keep it low at 3%. I admit I just took a quick search on Google, so basically it will not be such a bad news that the inflation rate is not taking into consideration. So once again, thank you very much for the update, Madam Director General. Once again, I would like to praise your results, and I'm sure that this news regarding financial negotiations and the results will be fully supported by all parties, and at least this is what I'm encouraging everyone to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. And yes, we echo your also congratulations to the DG and all those who were involved in those negotiations. And we also commend the new attitude, the spirit of collaboration, compromise. From the new management team of Intelsat. If I see no other hands, but I may have one question maybe for the DG, because from the past situation that we have had with Intelsat, there were two, I would say, two main issues. One was about the funding, and the second one was about the reporting obligation of Intelsat, because they have stopped also to provide regular information that was needed to allow the ITSO to perform its oversight function. Is from this side, do we also have any further evolution with regards to the provision of the necessary information for ITSO? DG, please.
Mr. Chair, yes, I believe that this would be better moving forward. Right now, we are finishing the negotiations with the funding agreement. But by the way, that SES has expressed that they want to fulfill their obligations. They went way above their obligations under the PSA with the funding. And by the relationship that we are having with them, I believe that we are going to be in a much better a path forward. This is something that we are also working on, and that hopefully I will be able to report more soon. We have been working, as you know, also with the U.S. notifying administration on the information that they have been very helpful, but unfortunately they are not present today because of the government still being closed at the moment. But we are working on a way forward. Another point to share is that right until after the bankruptcy and even before, because of the way Intelsat was behaving, we were not being able to evaluate and to research on their fund, on their financial on their financials. And now, since SES is a public company, they release the results, we should be able to go back to provide information on the financials of SES. It's something that also I'm working on, and I hope to be able to report more in the near future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DG. Thank you for all this information. And let's now move to item two on our agenda, which is dealing with adoption of the fifth meeting summary. The document was circulated to the members. Is there any comments with regards to the report or the meeting summary? I see no request for the floor, so the meeting summary of our fifth meeting is approved. Now let's look at item three, which is contribution from the Director General on the Working Group recommendation. And I would then give the floor to the DG to introduce her contribution. You have the floor, DG.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. So after reviewing all the reports of the working group meetings and taking into account the contributions to each terms of reference, the discussions of the meetings, the post-meeting document from the chair, as well as the recent developments, particularly the SCS acquisition of Intelsat, we proposed in the DG contribution a few changes to the recommendations for TORs 1, 3, 8, and 9, and also proposed to combine TORs 6 and 7, as it was agreed during the last meeting of the working group, the fifth meeting of the working group. This document builds upon the valuable discussions held during the previous meetings and introduces target updates to several terms of reference while preserving the integrity of our work. Before I proceed, I wanted to share that this document was prepared before the recent negotiations with SES. And I will just provide a quick overview of the main updates that we are proposing in the document. Then I will invite the legal advisor to present them one by one. So first, under TORs 1 and 3, we propose revisions to strengthen ITSU's strategic vision and our partnership with SES. These include encouraging and renew cooperation agreement and addressing key weaknesses in the public service agreement, particularly in funding, information sharing, and others. We are also recommending the development of a template PSA to enable ITSU to engage with other potential operators in the future. Then for terms of reference 6 and 7, they have been formally combined with recommendations aimed at identifying critical frequency assignments essential for maintaining a global connectivity. For TOR 8, as you might recall, it was agreed at the September meeting that the recommendation for this TOR needed to be refined after a meeting between the ITSU Secretariat and the U.S. Notifying Administration. An initial meeting was scheduled and everything was on track to take place on October 7 with the U.S. notifying administration. But due to the lapse in the U.S. government operations, this meeting has been canceled and will take place at a later day. In any case, as we mentioned during the last meeting, we as Secretariat felt that these terms of reference could be improved. And we are proposing a few changes to these terms of reference. Finally, for terms of reference 9, additional guidance is introduced to establish a transparent process for identifying and selecting and notifying administrations across its regions based on a previously endorsed criteria. So together, these updates are designed to enhance the coordination between ITSU and the notifying administrations and the company and to secure a sustainable funding and reinforce ITSU's ability to fulfill its mandate. With this brief opening, I would like to invite the legal advisor to go through the revisions. Thank you very much. Maury, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. And I see we have the actual document up in front of us. This will actually be fairly simple to do, I hope. First of all, Renata has laid out very clearly sort of the rationale for what these changes are. And with perhaps the exception of TOR 8, these are really intended to eliminate some unnecessary repetition, perhaps a little bit greater clarity in the cohesiveness of what will be the chair's document going to the advisory committee and ultimately to the AP, and also takes due account of the developments in connection with the Foundation for a New Relationship with SES, as reflected most prominently in the multi-year funding agreement that has been reached, developments that were hoped for perhaps when the terms of reference were originally drafted and indeed in earlier meetings of the working group, but did not really come to fruition in reality until the last couple of weeks. Then going to TOR1, the main, what we've done here is this is very standard stylistic. The text that is being deleted is shown in green as being stricken out, and then the text, any word changes that are made or additions is shown in green again as additional text. And the main change here in terms of, if we could go back to the prior page, of deleting what had been paragraph number one, this is not to say that this language isn't important, but it, given the overall flow of the document and the discussion that took place, this language actually is more appropriate to be embodied in the recommendations, more specifically with respect to TOR3. And indeed, you will see this language more or less verbatim appearing in TOR3. So this change is really done simply for clarity and simplicity and to avoid some unnecessary repetition between the language and the recommendations for the various TORs. The only other change is in the second paragraph is simply to put the term company rather than operator in. And then secondly, to also to lay the foundation for what's talked about more in TOR3, more general statement that of the view that SES should be strongly encouraged to enter into a cooperation agreement with ITSO, as was done in the past, for the mutual benefit of both. And again, as you've heard, significant progress in that direction has now been made. I guess a question I have for the chair of this meeting, would you like me to pause at this point and see if there are any questions or comments, or I can keep going and we can take those at the end? Again, the changes here do not affect all of the TORs. There are probably four or five of the nine where there are actual changes being suggested.
Thank you, Mr. Mori. So I would suggest maybe if you can go through all the proposed changes to the document,
sure.
Then we can take the comments in one shot.
Okay, that sounds very good, and I think that will hopefully lead to a very efficient consideration of this document. I think with regard to TOR2, we did not have any changes identified at all to the recommendations that were previously agreed to by the working group. Very good. Okay, turning now to TOR3, there are a couple things going on here again, and this, I think, will appear most likely in what is now number paragraph 3, the language that had previously been under TOR1 has been transposed, as I said, more or less verbatim, now to appear solely under TOR3 in the language that's there. With respect to the changes to paragraph 1 and paragraph 2, this is simply to take what was there before and to reformat it in a way that it's a more specific directive, if I can use that term, to the Director General. And the result here is more clearly defined as or set forth as an action item that the Director General is to take. That's really the sole purpose of these two of the changes to paragraph 1 and paragraph 2, and to paragraph 1, and then creating, in essence, out of that what had been paragraph 1, two paragraphs now. But again, just trying to translate this into more of direction or action item for the Director General to take. Then with respect to paragraph 3, as I indicated, this really is simply taking the language that had been originally contained under TOR1 and moving it here for a more cohesive presentation. Finally, or with respect to what is now numbered as a new paragraph 4, this again is consistent with some of the prior changes, simply intended to translate this into a recommendation or directive for a Director General action item to do what had been contemplated with respect to an updated templated PSA. There was a sentence that was at the very end, which we've now just converted into a new paragraph 5, making specific reference to the experiences of IMSO and Eutelsat IGO in the work that is to be done above, particularly with respect to the updated template PSA for entities other than Intelsat SES, and for that matter, if there is an opportunity to formally amend the PSA with the SES, to take those experiences into account as well in that work effort. Okay, again, I think that completes everything under TOR3. Again, I believe for TORs 4 and 5, there were no specific changes that were recommended. Okay, turning now to TOR 6 and 7. As the working group itself came to realize in dealing with the two TORs as had been originally prepared, that they really were essentially the same concept stated two slightly different ways. And therefore, rather than continuing to conduct work in parallel under two TORs that would essentially be identical or largely identical, it made sense to actually combine what had previously been TOR6 and TOR7 into a single TOR, and then logically flowing from that to have a single set of recommendations arising there under, rather than having what in essence would have to be almost two parallel identical recommendations if the two TORs had been kept separate. There's a little bit of suggested wording change to the wording of what had previously been TOR6 and TOR7 to effectuate this combination, and that's what is shown in the first paragraph. And then flowing through, I think what we wound up doing is really primarily keeping all the recommendations that had previously been put forward under TOR6. And since there was not, in terms of the actual work of the working group, separate consideration of TOR7, I think these will then become the recommendations that flow now under the combined TORs 6 and 7. Okay, turning to TOR 8, as you may recall, going back to the last meeting, this was the one that there was probably the greatest struggle with in terms of trying to come up with an appropriate concept. Part of the problem, frankly speaking, and I was at the center of a lot of this because I was involved in doing a lot of the original drafting and then redrafting and then further redrafting of trying to come up with a more reasoned presentation of TOR 8, is that this begins with the fact that we're for the first time talking about something that really is outside the scope of the ITSO agreement and the PSA as it currently stands. And this is basically to try to come up with a last gasp mechanism that might be necessary if invent the mechanisms that are already laid out in the PSA and in the ITSO agreement are not able to ensure protection of common heritage orbital locations and associated frequency assignments in a manner envisioned under Article 12C2 of the ITSO agreement. And part of the problem was is that depending upon exactly how this came up and timing, you had situations of where you might be dealing with frequency assignments that had been suspended but not suppressed, that had actually reached the point of suppression. There were issues of how this might or might not impact relationship with the existing notifying administrations and an entity that or another party that stepped forward to serve as a, I guess, interim notifying administration under this new arrangement. And I think having had a chance to think it through, trying to deal with all that complexity, first of all, is what created a very difficult to understand discussion and set of recommendations that had previously been drafted, and fundamentally was really unnecessary at this point, because we really did not know what circumstances would present themselves, and trying to anticipate and then put into writing all the different variations that might play out with those circumstances as they might arise, that it was better to try to reduce this to a set of some very basic principles that could apply in any set of circumstances. And that's really the approach that was taken here. Unfortunately, in a perfect world where the U.S. government had not experienced a shutdown that, as you were aware, is actually continuing to this day, the possibility of discussing this with the notifying administrations, particularly the U.S., which had flagged a lot of the problems with the drafting that had previously been done, and I think those very legitimate issues, we were hoping to have a meeting with the U.S. government and to actually see if we could get their agreement in this new approach, or if not, at least get feedback from them that could be taken into account in whatever might then be presented back to the working group. It was not possible to do that for the reasons that have been explained. So at this point, I think it's hopeful that once the U.S. government reopens, which I also now believe may be coming sooner rather than later, but no need to get into that now, that we can have that discussion. Hopefully, this will make more sense to them. And if they have further constructive suggestions that could further impact the recommendation here, that there will at least be an opportunity to have that presented for consideration, if not by the working group itself, at least by the advisory committee in next March. But in any event, what we have tried to do, let's stay on that prior page for a moment. In the first paragraph is simply in the first part of this to lay out exactly what it is we're trying to address, which is the circumstance in which an ITSO notifying administration, for whatever reason, is unable to license or authorize an operator other than the company to utilize common heritage orbital locations as envisioned under Article 12C2, and the result of which will ultimately result in their suppression under applicable ITU rules. And here we're not going to try to figure out whether that this may all arise between the time period of suspension and suppression or afterwards, because that ultimately isn't that necessary to figure out. Then what we need to have is the possibility of a party other than the notifying administration coming forward with an approach that, through its licensing mechanisms, would enable the licensing of an operator other than the company to utilize an orbital location and associated frequency assignments that could serve as a suitable new assignment, basically a substitution for what would be lost as a result of the ITU rules. And finally, and again, without getting into all the details of how that would happen, other than this would have to be an action by a party other than the notifying administration, and what they would propose to make available would be something that could be a suitable substitute for what was being lost, and that ITSO would then look to accept that offer, but it would need to be contingent upon the offering parties, first of all, full compliance with all applicable ITU requirements. That was another area of possible concern previously, whether we might be looking to somehow short-circuit ITU procedures that would otherwise apply, and I don't think that was ever the intent here. And then secondly, that whatever new operator was going to be authorized by that party, that they would then need to enter into a PSA with ITSO, ensuring appropriate protection for the core principles contained in the ITSO agreement. So that is basically the way the proposal here has been reformulated, a lot of the complexity and uncertainty has been taken out because at the end of the day, it may not matter. And trying to keep this as simple as possible conceptually. So we're one, identifying the problem, two, looking to a party other than the notifying administration to come up with a possible candidate where it's not possible for that to have happened under the rules of the notifying administrations. And then that if this is to work, it needs to comply with all ITU procedures. And obviously, the end result, there would need to be a PSA with it so as well. Rolling on then, I think we can now go to the next page. Therefore, a lot of the more complex language we had before has been deleted. We do keep as paragraph two simply a general statement that ITSO parties are encouraged to take whatever actions they believe may be appropriate to be in a position to take action under this approach if that is ever necessary. And then finally, I think a recognition that if this were to take place, that it would certainly be important to make sure that, again, subject to the understanding that everything would be done consistent with ITU rules and procedures, that any such occurrence that occurred under TOR 8 is one that the ITU itself would continue to recognize as representing frequency assignments in an orbital location that are now to be treated as part of the ITSO's common heritage for ITU purposes. Again, overall, I think this is a much more simple and clearer approach and avoids so much of the complexity that we were trying to deal with before. Okay, finally going to TOR 9. Here, this is simply to maybe expand a little bit on what was talked about during the discussion at the last working group session, but with a little bit more specificity, particularly in terms of references being made to what was done previously back in 2001, initially by the what was then the Intelsat Board of Governors, and was followed up on and fully embraced by the ITSO Assembly of Parties meeting where the restructuring was approved. And there is more specific reference made to particular documents that were prepared at the time, both the document that had been prepared for action before the Intelsat Board of Governors and the documentation that was then considered and the decisions taken at AP25 in coming up with the criteria that were to be used for the selection of the notifying administrations. And then in terms of how this should work going forward, because that was left a little open-ended, and I think it still may be to an extent, and this is one where I think the next assembly itself will need to weigh in, but at least this is giving them a little bit further guidance in this regard, is simply to state more clearly the types when interested administrations that would like to be identified as suitable candidates to be notifying administrations if the circumstances were never presented itself where that was necessary, to simply lay out with greater specificity the type of information that they would need to provide that would then need to be taken into account by an assembly of parties in making any decisions in this regard. And again, the changes that are there, that are presented now in bullet form, I think are fairly clear and self-explanatory. It's to first have the administrations identify the resources that they have available to be able to perform all the activities that would be required by its own notifying administrations. I think we'd need to have clarity, and here the language really didn't change, that what they would be prepared to commit to do in performing the activities. And then lastly, simply having them also address why they then believe what they have committed to in the first two bullets would satisfy the criteria previously adopted by the Assembly of Parties for a selection of notifying administrations. And I think that just provides with somewhat greater clarity the shall we say, the essence or substance of what had been decided at the last working group meeting. The change to paragraph three is simply clarity and consistency, spelling out common heritage rather than using the abbreviation CH. And that covers all the changes that are made. And again, just in conclusion, the objective here was simply to help create a document that I think ultimately will be submitted by the chair of this working group for consideration at IAC and then ultimately to the Assembly of Parties to have it a little bit more cohesive and a little less repetitive than might otherwise be the case, given both developments that have taken place while the working group process has been taking place, and again, on the basis of, shall we say, reflection after all the work has been done to figure out the best way to present it. And with that, that concludes my explanation of the actual changes contained in this document.
Thank you very much to DG and Mr. Murray Mechanic for this detailed presentation on the proposed revision to the recommendation and some of the TORs that we have previously addressed during our past meeting. And those changes are mainly either to address evolving circumstances so that to make sure that recommendations still align with the prevailing situation, or those changes are also addressing some of the comments which were made during the examination of the TORs. So what I will suggest to the meeting is to take the TORs where we have some changes one by one, and to seek whether there are comments from the meeting, and if no, then we will endorse them. So we will start with the TOR 1, looking at the proposed changes. Is there any comments with regards to the changes proposed to the recommendation on TOR 1? I see no request for the floor, so thank you for that. Maybe from my side, one comment. It's about, I don't know how we will call it, it's about how we should call or address our partner, Intelsat, or the company in our document, because I think that we will need to be consistent in terms of language that we should use. And we should also, I think, one point, stick with what is in our contractual instrument with our partners, because I think SES is, I would say, is the entity owning the shares for the company. Legally, I think, the entity with whom we have entered into an agreement is Intelsat. I don't know if there has been a change into the name of the entity. Is it still Intelsat, or now the combined company is, they have changed the name to another? I don't know what's the current name, because normally what I think that we should either use Intelsat or the company, or if we want to refer to the shareholder, we should clearly specify at one point of time that we are referring to the entity now owning the share of the company, SES. DJ, I don't know if it is something that we could agree to, because it might be sometimes confusing. In some places, we are referring to SES, even though at those places, we are linking the issues with the contractual engagement with the company. But I don't know if there's something that we could consider to make sure that our language throughout the document should be consistent and also not far to what is in our I would say contractual instrument. Or I don't know if DJ or Mori would like to maybe to react on that.
I can take a crack at that. And I think whatever we ultimately decide the way to handle it would probably be to insert a footnote at some appropriate place explaining how the terminology is to be used. Looking at what's before us right now, just in terms of paragraphs 1 and 2, when we're referring back to the actual wording in the ITSO agreement, the treaty itself, I think there the term that is used in almost every instance is to refer to what was then Intelsat as the company. And the reason that term was used, because I think even in 2001, there was a recognition that changes could be possible in the future. And if you tied it to a particularly named entity per se, even though I think company was defined at one point as what was then Intelsat Limited, the company, when you're talking sort of big picture, is probably the term to use. I think from my view, going to the second question you had as to what is actually going on with SES, I think the answer is it's in process. Part of the problem was that in acquiring Intelsat, and it was definitely an acquisition, it was not a merger, there was a total change in ownership, and SES is now the ultimate owning entity of everything that had previously been Intelsat, as well as all its own operations, is I believe over time there's going to be more and more integration of the two under the SES name, but that may take some time to take place. I think what we thought of previously as the head entity for Intelsat, which had started off as Intelsat Limited and then became Intelsat SA, that entity no longer exists as a separate entity. It has been acquired and absorbed into SES. However, as structured, Intelsat SA had a large number of subsidiary companies. I don't know the exact number, but somewhere probably between 10 to 25, each of which had the name Intelsat in it. Those subsidiary, the names of those subsidiary entities, and at least a couple of those are directly relevant to the PSA because they were signatories to the PSA. Those name changes have not yet taken place. My best guess is over time they will take place, and it's very likely if you could step forward 3 or 4 years from now, the name Intelsat may at that point have disappeared altogether. But that hasn't happened today. And indeed, even in terms of the entities that our party's dealing with, a lot of them, even though they'll be owned by SES, will still have the name, the word Intelsat in their name, at least for a while longer. That adds a degree of confusion that we have to deal with. But from my perspective, and this may be, I may be stepping a little bit out of the legal because I don't think there's an absolute clear legal answer into practical policy. I think given the desire to have a new beginning, a reset of the relationship, and the openness and willingness of SES to go along with that, in fact, to embrace that themselves, that in terms of where we're dealing with any specificity with who we're talking about going forward as, and I'd like to use the word partner here, because I think that's what it is, the partner with ITSO in assuring that the core principles will be achieved, that referring to that specifically as SES rather than Intelsat really makes the most sense. But again, that's not necessarily a pure legal view, but I think more a pragmatic or policy view.
Thank you, Mori. DG?
I just wanted to add, similar to what Maurice said, under the ITSO agreement, it is the company. So whenever we are referring to older, we can mention Intelsat or the company, and the company is defined under the ISO agreement under Article 1D, as the company means the private entity or entities established under the law of one or more states to which the International Telecommunications Satellite Organization space system is transferred and includes their successors in interest. So this, I think, made it very clear. So we can, if we have to refer to older things, we have to refer to the company. And I think if we have to refer to anything from July on, it should be SES. I haven't seen yet the final, the draft of the funding agreement, but who is signing the agreement is the CEO of SES. So we are going to be entering into the relationship with SES. And when we were in the offices, everything is already SES. When I was a part of the brand event, everything is SES. So I think from now on, it should be SES. That would be my solution. But for when we refer to things from before July, we can say Intelsat or depending on the information, can be the company to follow the ITSU agreement.
Thank you very much for those clarifications. So I think I will leave it in the hands of the DG and the Mori to find an appropriate wording that we should refer to. But of course, I think one of the options will be to have the footnotes that would clarify those elements, and maybe throughout the document to make sure that we are consistent, we can use the terms the company. That would be maybe helpful, but I will leave it in your hands to address this issue editorially when preparing the final version for the document for submission to the AEC. Franz Amar, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you confirm you can hear me?
Loud and clear, please proceed.
Thank you, Abdurrahman, and good afternoon, everyone. Initially, my question was exactly the same, that it's on tour number one, the same as the chair, about this name company. So I thank you, DG, Mr. Mechanic, for your explanations. What is clear for me is that the word company is correct, and we just have in this document to pay attention that it is coherent between the paragraph. On the other hand, I have a problem now with all your experience and the one from the DG. I think it's now very confused for me. We, in the last working group one, working group two, we had the discussion about the problems we had to identify which company we are talking about, who is really licensed, who is the one who is responsible for this and this and this. So I think it is time maybe to clarify this. Maybe it's a request for our Director General. It would help us to understand who, very simple things. Who is the signatory of the PSA? Who is the holder of the license? And who is, maybe, as you said, the one who is discussing the funding agreement? This is maybe something we need to clarify in a specific paper that we can update just to make people understand exactly what is the situation. Maybe one question. Mr. Mechanic, dealing with the change and the change of ownership, do you know if there have been any change in the license of the FCC for the control of the filings? Because in it, so there is different. We have different interests, of course, the fundings, but we have also interest in who is taking care, in fact, of the common heritage. So, just simple question: was there any change by the FCC in those things?
There. There was no, at the time the FCC approved the acquisition, there was no change. So prior to the acquisition having taken place, the actual name of the license entity, I think, is Intelsat License LLC. I'd have to check that to confirm, but I believe that is the name. I believe that is the name today as well. So the identity has not changed. Now, it is within the province, I'll use that term, of SES, and at some point in the future, come forward to the FCC and say, we decided we want to change the name of the licensee. And that would not change the identity, if I can identify that as a distinction, but they may decide to have the name change from Inelsat License LLC to SES License LLC. That is something that the FCC would approve really as a non-substantive modification, as long, again, as the entity itself does not change and you're simply changing the name. That has not happened to date. I don't know if it will ever happen, although I think recognizing the overall branding strategy that we believe SES will want to pursue at some point in the future, that change could very well take place. But again, that would be at the FCC level treated only as a change in the name, not the identity of the entity. And it certainly would not have any impact on the scope or nature of the FCC's total regulatory oversight over that entity.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Mori, and also thank to France for your intervention. I think you have also highlighted one key element, and I hope that the DG, when preparing the final version for the document and including the notes, also to try to clarify all the related elements that have been highlighted by France in your intervention regarding the identity of the entity, who is the licensing and licensee, and also the entity who are now also on the common heritage assignment and orbital position. That will be very useful to have this note into the document, just to make to avoid some confusion for the members. So, if there is no more request for the floor on
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. One last point. To be very complete on this, I would like to share one information with the group, because during the participation of the working group one and previous working group two, I noticed also that it's not very clear what companies we are talking about when we discuss about the license. And if we have a note clarifying the, as said by Mr. Mechanic, the identity of the company, maybe the name it could change. I have no problem with this, but I would like that we do not forget that we have a second notifying administration, that is the UK. And up to now, and I made different research, it's very difficult for me to understand what is the identity and what is the name of the company that is licensed by the UK. And for instance, we will have a new company, SES, that will enter into the game. And I think now we need to be very clear about who are really the companies that hold license in those countries and the one who is signing the PSA. And if there is a difference between those companies, we may need some explanation about what does that mean. So just my comment is just to, if there is something done by the Director General on this for clarification, just not to forget that the UK part. What is the company that is concerned by the UK administration? And I don't know if there is any link or how the link is done with this new ownership by SES. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Franz. I think DG will take this also on board when preparing the note and clarifying those aspects. DG, you have the floor.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much, Franz. I take note of your request. I know that you have been requesting this for the last 2 years, I think, without much success, and I apologize for that. I take note for that, and we will now under this new relationship, the new management, I will take on that. I don't know how quick I can get that, but we will work on that. So I just wanted to express that we will work on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DJ, and thank you to France once more. So let's move them to the next TOR, TOR2. I think there is no change to that. So now let's look at TOR3. There has been some proposed changes to the recommendation under TOR3. Any comments with regards to that? No request for the floor, so thank you very much. So it means that we can endorse the propose the changes to the TORs on the changes to the recommendation on the TOR3. Now let's look at the next one, TOR4, no change. TOR5, also no change. Next is the merging of TOR6 and 7. This was agreed when we were considering those sets of TORs. So now the change which has been proposed is just for, I will say, the text that was defining the aspect to be addressed on the TOR6 and 7. So there is a proposal. Any comment to that? Okay. Mori, you have the floor.
Yes. Can we go back in light of the discussion, both the issue that you raised and what France just raised, there actually is probably one additional change that should be made in this for clarity. I note as we get towards the end, there's a reference to common heritage to another company. Given the way company, this is in the actual wording of the, if go back down a little bit to the actual wording of TORs 6 and 7 now. In the fourth line, there's says such frequency assignments of the common heritage to another company. Given the very unique way we're using the word company, in this context, when you're referring to an entity other, to be very specific, other than SES or Intelsat previously had been, and is not, quote, the company as that term is used under the ITSO agreement, that should probably read to another operator. I don't think using the word company there, I think that will be confusing given what we talked about previously as to when we're going to use the word company and what it means. So I would suggest one further change just to the wording itself and the heading. I think as we go through the text, for the most part, where we use the company, that is correctly used.
Okay. Thank you, Mori. So the suggestion or the proposal here is that from we want additional changes to remove the terms company after another, so that we could refer to operators, meaning the entity that will be seconded for the common heritage in case there is, I would say, a procedures for transferring the common heritage from the company now to another entity. I think this is agreeable for the meeting, and when we will prepare the final report, we will make sure to reflect what was the original labeling for the TOR 6 and 7, and also what was the outcome in terms of review by the working group in terms of what has been suggested as the new combine TOR 6 and 7 with its labeling. France, please. You have the floor, Amar.
So sorry, Mr. Chairman. This was maybe a mistake from my side, but maybe I can Reading again the way the text has been changed, I think I thought I had an issue with the fact that I think such a frequency assignment, we cannot say that it's transferred to another company. But I see what is the meaning of I don't know what is transfer. The we can transfer, maybe FCC can transfer a license. It's or maybe we transfer the management of such an assignment. But I don't have a solution, but I have a problem to understand what was. Maybe Mr. Mechanic, you can say it again. What was the idea by changing those words and adding the fact that we want mechanism of transferring? I understand that what you are mentioning is to transfer the management or to transfer the license to another company. Is it correct, Mr. Mechanic?
That is correct. The one thing I will start off on, not sure if this is helpful or not, but I think it's reality. We're dealing now, in terms of the wordings of the TOR, with language that was presented to and agreed to at the last assembly. So this is, in theory, the assembly's wording. Although I agree with you, it was done quickly at the assembly. There may be, as we look at it through a purer lens now, not as precise as it should have been. I see your concern with the word transferring. What we're really talking about is how the notifying administrations authorize, and again, here you have a separate problem that in the U.S., for the U.S. notifying administration, it's a formal licensing process. In the U.K., it's more, I think we've been using the term authorization to refer to what the UK does, because they don't issue formal licenses per se, but rather their entire procedure revolves around their support provided to the ITU for the, shall we say, the ITU, I don't like the word authorization there, but I'll use it anyway, ITU authorization of the use of those frequencies and orbital slots. So to be more precise here, and again, recognizing we're now playing around with the wording that was drafted and approved at the AP by the AP. It could be, you could say, mechanisms of licensing or authorizing the use of such frequency assignments. On this one, I would if the delegate from France is
so comfortable, maybe the two words are missing. It's right. Transferring the use.
Yes, okay.
The use of such frequency, the use. Yes. Because you do not transfer the assignments themselves. You right. You can transfer the use.
No, you're absolutely correct. And that's...
Whatever you do, who do it, we can accept everything. The only thing is that the use of such frequency assignment is transferred.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. The one other thing I would ask the permission of the chair to do... I had noticed the use of the word company in what I thought was the wrong way in the wording of the TOR itself. I've had a chance to at least quickly look through the terminology and all the actual recommendations. And in almost every instance, I think the use of the word company is appropriate. But at least in the very last paragraph, I think there's at least one reference to another operator where we refer to it as another company. And I think if the chair is okay with this, that the director general be given the authority to at least review the precise wording in all these subparagraphs and make sure that every time the word company is used, that's the proper usage. And if for any reason there's any place where company should be changed to operator, that is a change that can be made. And obviously I think when that happens, there would be a consultation with the chair to make them aware of it. But for purposes of what actually then goes forward as the final document to the IAC, that there's the ability to make that correction if it's necessary in any of the subparagraphs here.
Thank you, Franz, and thank you, Maury. Yes, I think we could agree with the proposal from Franz to refer to transfer the use of the frequency assignment. And of course, so we have already agreed that the DG has the authority to review the text here to make sure that we align with what we have agreed in terms of the naming that we should use and to keep consistency. So that's why, so no problem for that. Since before issuing the document or sending the document for the AAC, there will be a review, a peer review between the DGG and me, so we would make sure that the language align with what we have agreed here. No problem for that. DG, please.
Mr. Chair, and thank you, Maury, for that suggestion. So as a way forward, what we will do is that we will accept all the changes in the current document that have been accepted. And any additional change, paragraph by paragraph to see the company and operator issue. I will change any changes, the inclusion of France's comments on the use of all of those. I will make it in a clean document, in fact, changes, so it's easier for the chair to see. And I will send that to the chair so we can finalize the document. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DG. So if there is no further comments, so we've agreed we endorse the proposal here, taking into account the comments which have been made during the meeting. And next, we would look at TR number 8. Here, I think we have noted the fact that due to the specific circumstances happening with the government of the U.S., there were no possibility to have, the meeting with the U.S. Notifier Administration to seek their feedback on the proposed changes to the recommendation of TR number 8. But noting the fact that we still have another opportunity to review this, that will happen at the level of the AAC. So hopefully by the AAC, the Director General could have a meeting with the U.S. Notifier Administration and present the outcome of those discussions directly to the AAC for consideration. So for the time being, we will consider the text which is proposed here to see whether there are comments to what has been proposed here as changes to the recommendation on TR number 8. Floor is open. I see no request for the floor. So, Franz, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I understand that the discussion on this point is suspended to the results of a meeting with between the DG and the U.S. administration. I just want to express the fact that TOR 8 was the results of a proposal made by a lot of countries from the African group. And I would say that it's not very clear for me for what reason we need the view of whether we need the view of the party of the USA or whether we need the view of the notifying administration. I would like to say to the DG that we had some experience about this. If you have a meeting with the US administration on this, the USA have to clearly express their view on this and as a party and full stop. The notifying administration itself, it's an administration. They can have a view on this, but they are not party to the ITSO. So I would like to clearly make the difference between what is the view of the notifying administration as a technical view that there may be some difficulties to do that, but it would be fine to have a distinction between the view of the notifying administration and the view of the party as a party of its own. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Franz. Maybe I will provide a little background regarding this issue. So when we were considering the recommendation under this TOR, so there was a set of recommendations that were provisionally agreed, but it has happened that during the meeting, comments were raised. Some of the comments were addressing the fact that we should clarify the scope and the implementation of such a recommendation. And at the same time, there were also a request for the Director General to review the recommendation to make sure that it aligns with the ITU regulation. And we also encourage the Director General to consult with the US Notified Administration, according to the comments which were made during that meeting, to see whether the changes proposed by the DG with regards to the initial set of recommendation will be acceptable for the US administration, or maybe they may have further comments. So currently what we are doing is that we are proposing to endorse the recommendation as it is now, if it is fine to the members of the group now. But I have also mentioned the fact that as soon as it will be possible for the DG to have the meetings with the US Notified Administration, they may have that meeting, and the DG will report to the IAC any outcome from that discussion. Of course, the US administration is free to raise any further comments they may have on this issue during the IAC meeting. As soon as we will conclude this meeting, and if we agree to endorse the changes or the recommendation as presented now, that will form, I will say, our interim report and the proposed recommendation at this stage, to be presented for the AAC to seek the comment from the AAC. So any further comment related to that will be presented directly to the AAC for consideration at that level. So I hope I made it clear regarding the process. But of course, as we have mentioned, is the fact that US administration has specific comments to that. That is why we have encouraged the DG to consult with them to see how this comment could be addressed. Are we okay with this way forward? I see people's nodding, so thank you very much. Franz, please, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So just to be sure, so my understanding is that the text we have on the screen is agreed.
Yes.
Yes, it would not be modified even if there is a meeting between the DG and the US administration, except if someone expressed explicitly. But the text we have on the screen is an agreed text of the group. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Now, if there is no more comment from this meeting, that's the text which is agreed by the working group. So now the report that will be presented to the AAC will go with this recommendation. And of course, at the level of the AAC, it's up to the participant, to the members of the IEC, to make any additional comments to that, and the IEC will make any determination with regard to those comments. So what I was only mentioning is the fact that since we have already allowed for continuous discussion between the DG and the US administration, if this happened, the DG will report separately on those discussion for informing the AAC to make any further determination. But currently, what we are going at this meeting, if there is no comment to what is proposed here, that will be our conclusion in terms of suggested recommendation. Maury?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I thought your explanation of how this is all going to go forward was picture perfect. You got it exactly right. And I think that's what is envisioned here. My only comment is with respect to the footnote itself, that was put in more to be informative for this body to under just to recapture a little bit of the history and what had or hadn't happened. I think when this gets incorporated into what will ultimately be your document, that footnote probably should not be included.
Thank you. Yes, then the footnote will not be included. Yes, that is really was informative for us, just as just provide us with the background forward action that has been made after our last meeting. Franz, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I fully support what was just said. Thank you.
Thank you, Franz. Thank you. So it seems that we have endorsed the recommendation on the TORs number 8. Now let's look at TOR number 9. Any comments with regards to the changes which have been proposed? And the DG has mentioned that changes reflected here was just to point to some of the principle which have been already agreed by AP25 for selecting the notifying administrations. So the idea is just to provide some kind of linkage to that decision of the AP and to make sure that the same principle and criteria remain if there is any willingness to identify, I would say, possible, I would say, alternative notifying administration. Franz, you have the floor, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just make a comment. If you have a look to TOR9, it's clearly real mind that it was first a proposal from Region D. And I would just like to share with the group that 25 years ago, France was a candidate to be a notifying administration of the common heritage. But for some reasons, but I may be too young to understand those reasons, France was not eligible to be, I would say, a notifying administration that is that corresponds to those criteria. So I strongly encourage my colleagues from Region D to have a look to those criteria. And because even on my side, I was very surprised that my country was not able to fulfill those criteria. I hope it's the case now. That was just a comment for those who are interested in being such a notifying administration. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Franz. Thank you for your comments. So, any further comments with regards to the changes on the TORs 9? I see none. So, the recommendation on the changes proposed on the TORs 9 are endorsed by our meeting. So, with that, we will thank once more the DG for the hard work and preparing also this proposal in terms of improving the some of the recommendations which were already discussed within our group at previous meeting. So with that, we would then move to the next document. So what does this mean is that the recommendation where we have agreed to the changes will be automatically embedded into the next document, which is a consolidated document from the all the TORs. So it's a compilation of the contribution that we have discussed and agreed on during the previous meeting. So the next item is on our agenda is the contribution from the chairman combining all the TOR. So, as agreed by the working groups, the coordinators for the TORs were tasked to prepare a consolidated document, including the relevant recommendation, taking into account the contributions submitted and the comments made during the meetings where those TORs were considered. And for that exercise, a template, a report template, has been circulated by the ITSO Secretariat. And the Secretariat also has provided support to the TORs coordinators in preparing their reports. And based on the coordinators' documents, now we have assembled all the elements into this single document that reflects the outcome on our discussion. And going through this document, you will see that document is providing the necessary information for the parties according to the task that has been assigned to our group. For each of the TORs, we have indication of the scope and the background information relevant to the said TORs, the main issues that are to be addressed under the given TORs, and also the recommendation stemming from the consideration of the different issues under the said TORs. And as we for the part relating to the different TORs, we have reviewed them during the previous agenda item. The Director General, in his contribution, has presented the whole set of recommendations according to the TORs, along with its proposed changes to the document. So please wear your glasses so that when it's come to the part relating to the recommendation, bear in mind the document from the DG where we have the actual elements regarding forming the recommendation under the different TORs. So this document will, I would say, serve as the basis for preparing the report, the interim report that I should provide to the AAC for further consideration and comments and feedback as necessary before preparing, finalizing the report that should be submitted to the AP. So with that brief introduction, I don't think that there is a need to have a detailed review of the document, since the document, the elements in here have been already extensively reviewed and discussed during the dedicated meeting. So I will then open the floor if there is any comments with regards to this document. Floor is open. Franz, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one question for you. In different TOR, for example, just one example is the TOR 9, talking about those recommendations to have new notifying administration or not recommendation how to proceed with this. But Mr. Chairman, did you have during the work any wish from any country to act like as a new notifying administration?
Thank you very much, Franz. I think for this issue, the comments which have been provided during the meeting, there were two sets of comments. Well, there was issue about whether the current, I would say, ITSO agreement allow to designate, additional notify administration. I think the legal advisor has provided with some comments to that, analysis to that, and we have recommended that this element also should be provided to the AP in the written form. And also the second point was a suggestion, which is now embedded into this document, is to see if there are any interested administration to act as notify administration if it happens that there is a situation where one of the notify administration decided not to continue with this responsibility. So those were the two situations that were considered when addressing this TUR. But maybe Mori could provide a more insight in terms of the context of the discussion addressing this specific point, that will help France to better understand how the recommendations were crafted on that this topic.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To go to the specific question, I don't recall any particular party coming forward indicating specifically that it wanted to be considered or not, but that the fact that no party came forward should not be interpreted in any way as indicating that there are not other parties out there that could be interested. In fact, I think underlying the documentation provided by Region D to both AP 40 and AP 41, one would, I think, normally assume that there are other parties, particularly in Region D, but maybe other regions as well, that would be interested in being considered, or at least being determined to be appropriately eligible to be treated as notifying administrations if circumstances in which that possibility were to become real, were to arise, whether now or I guess the other issue might be what might happen if the ITSO agreement were to be terminated. Beyond that, in terms of the recommendations under TOR9, I recognize that they may be a little bit more limited in scope than what appears to be the totality of what TOR9 was established to consider. But there again, I think in putting together the recommendations, we were limited by the actual discussion and presentations that were made in connection with TOR9 and the nature of the discussion and other information provided, what continues to be fairly limited. So in terms of things that could actually come forward as firm recommendations from the working group under TOR9 for consideration by the Assembly of Parties, I think what is listed here is really all that you could say there was a clear, based on the discussion, sense of should go forward to the next Assembly.
Thank you very much, Maureen. And I also highlight the fact that those are the initial set of recommendations from the working group. Of course, this will be presented to the IEC via an interim report. And still, those will be left open to comments or to specific contribution from the parties in order to improve or to complement what has been suggested here. Franz?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just an editorial thing for you. I have some yellow text on my document. Maybe if you could scroll up. Is it the case on your... This is for... Yes, this one. Maybe we can remove this now.
Yes, it was on the TR number 8. So that's the point I was making when we were considering the document from the contribution from the DG, is the fact that when we have considered those TRs, the meeting agreed provisionally to those recommendations. And we also at the same time indicated that there will be further discussion between the ITSO Secretary, the U.S. notifying administration, in order to see if those recommendations could be improved. And we have looked at the improved a proposal regarding those CURs when considering the contribution from the DG. Of course, this yellow text will be removed from the final document that will be prepared. Thank you. I see no further comments, so that means that there is no specific comment with regards to this consolidated document. For sure, the document will be updated, taking into account the conclusion of our discussion on the contribution from the DG. And we have also some alignment regarding some of the wording, especially with regard to the naming or identity for the company and other aspects. So with that, we have concluded with this agenda item. So we can move to item 5, AOB. Any other business? DG, please.
I wanted to remind the parties about the IAC date that will be March 26 and 27 in Washington, D.C. And I want to inform the parties that we have finalized the dates for the AP, which will be September 30th to October 2nd, again in Washington, D.C. We will be sending letters later on, but I wanted to for the parties to save the date. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DG. So if there is no further request for the floor, so before closing our meeting today, Franz, you're on the floor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for the, if you, the DG can put those dates in the chat, maybe just for me to be sure. I didn't catch the second one. Thank you.
We will do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe before my final words, DG, do you have any final comments?
Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to express again my appreciation for the working group members, for you, for all the discussions, and for all the members of the management team, because I'm very happy and very pleased with all that we have accomplished since the beginning of this working group. When we came up at AP with this working, with these terms of reference, it seemed a very daunting work to be done, and I'm very pleased to have succeed with all of you. And I wanted to thank, of course, and recognize the secretariat, who has been all the staff that has been very supportive, and of course the legal advisor, Mr. Maury Mechanic, and our technical advisor, Dr. Julian Cezanic, who have been very supportive throughout this process. I'm confident that with these proposed changes, we will have a good working group report, and that I hope that we'll have ITSU in a better foot in the future. So I'm confident that the organization, with your support, is going in the right direction. So I wanted to thank you all for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. I would also like to echo what you have just said. I want to share my sentiment regarding this work. I'm really impressed with what we have been able to achieve throughout this year, especially with this document. So even me, when I was informed that I was appointed as the chair of this other group, it was a surprise for me, because I was not even attending the AP. So I really praise and thanks the parties for I would say the confidence they have put in me by appointing me as the chair of this working group. As has been mentioned by the DG, for me it was a daunting task, but now looking at the result, I think it's really, really happy with what we've been able to achieve now. I'm pretty sure that when presenting this report to the AP, the membership will be really, will find useful information, useful elements And hopefully it will address or will be addressed what were the issues through which were posed through these TORs or questions or topics. So for that, I would like to thank all the parties who have attended the work of these working groups and those who have contributed to the work of this working group. Special thanks to the rapporteur, Mr. George Kasangaki from Uganda, and Ms. Nazgul Bagbasi from Turkey. And special thanks also to the coordinators and vice coordinators for the different TORs, Dr. Maria Myers Hamilton from Jamaica, Mr. Flynn Mix from South Africa, Mr. Nedal Al-Samara from Jordan, Mr. Thomas Walter from France, Mr. George Quizera from Rwanda, Ms. Revati from India. Thanks also to the DG, starting with Mr. Patrick Masambu, with whom we have started this work. That was really, he was really supportive and has provided us with some of the guidance on how to structure our work and also prepare the elements from some of the TORs that has been addressed during this group. And also to our new DG since July, Dr. Renata, Brazil. Thanks also to all the team from the ITSO Secretariat, Ms. Alain Defray, Heloisa, and also the advisors, Dr. Sesenya, Mr. Mori Mechanics, and all those who were involved in this task. And also would like also to recognize the support that was given to us by the chair of the AP. As mentioned by the DG, he has attended all the meeting of the working groups, and he always provide us with very nice words and also very useful thoughts that has helped us to progress in our work. So thank you to all. So I see a hand raised from our colleague from Nigeria. Adiga, please, you have the floor.
Thank you, Sir. Good evening or good afternoon to everyone. Are you hearing me?
Yes, loud and clear. Please proceed.
Okay. So I want to use the opportunity to appreciate you and DG and every other one, as you have rightly said, rightly mentioned, job well done. It was not an easy task, but we are able to pull it through. As you said, you are surprised. That is exactly how everyone was. We all put out our input, strength, collaborative effort, and as well as teamwork to ensure that you have succeeded in this. So I'd like to thank you for the patience and as well as the hard work for achieving in this milestone. Then, with that is me, I would like to maybe appeal that, because most of us that are in this group are within the FSS, within the satellite environment, and I've observed that most time the meeting that is being scheduled normally fall into when we have the working party for meetings, and it's actually trying to make some of us not to actually participate and contribute effectively. So sometimes we'll be juggling between two meetings, and in doing that we have divided attention and as well in mind. And you know how the working party meetings have taken a lot of time to ensure that we will work and participate effectively. So be as I've mentioned, I would like that this should be taken into account time and time when we are scheduling meetings, we should take into cognizance that most of us is working and participating in the satellite meetings. So I pray that they should be taken into account so that next meeting it should be free for us to participate and contribute effectively. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brother Diga. Thank you also for your kind words, and thank you for spotting also the issue with conflicting engagement. You are absolutely right. The fact that since our meeting is addressing satellite issue, we should avoid having any meeting which will be happened in parallel with major events that involve the satellite community. So we will make sure for future that we avoid such clash. You are absolutely right for that. Sorry for this, and thank you also, beside that, to have taken part to this important session. So we have concluded with one key milestone. That was preparing our initial set of recommendation. The next step will be the IAC, and please review the documents, especially the interim report that will be produced. And if you have further elements, comments, or improvement, or additional element to include to what have been already prepared by the working group, please feel free to that. And we hope that we will continue to have a collaborative and interesting discussion during the AAC with regard to the work of the working group. So with that, I would now close the meeting, and thanks everyone for your support and understanding, and we meet maybe at the AAC. Meeting is closed. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Goodbye.